Hey y'all, welcome to episode 3, season 4 of the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I am your host, Cheryl Samson Ramirez, pronouns she, her, sha, and I'm excited to bring for you all the episode titled The X in Philippine X. We are going to talk with Gia Sotero Dakayanan, all pronouns and sha, curator for Safe Spaces Healing for Trans and Non-Binary BIPOC, and also Dr. Pau Abustan, Assistant Professor of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Cal State Los Angeles. Let's hear what they have to say about the X in Philippine X. Maayong adlaw, welcome to episode 3 of season 4 for the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I am your host, Cheryl Samson Ramirez, and my pronouns are she, her, sha. I am a light medium tone Chennai with brown eyes and unicorn hair, dark purple roots with royal blue tips. My background is an off-white curtain with gray zigzag stripes. Following our last episode, Sweet Mango Therapy Group Incorporated with LCSW Christine R. Melendrez, this month we'll be talking about the X in Philippine X for Pride Month. Our guests for this episode are Dr. Pau Abustan, PhD, pronouns they, sha, Assistant Professor of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Cal State, Los Angeles, and Gia Sotero Dakayanan, pronouns, all pronouns, and sha, curator for Safe Spaces Healing for Trans and Non-Binary BIPOC. As mentioned in previous episodes, all views discussed are for informational and educational purposes only. It's not meant to be medical advice, nor does it constitute therapy or professional advice. Always consult with your healthcare practitioner, especially before starting any exercise or new health program, or a qualified mental health professional for your particular condition. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome to our podcast Dr. Pau Abustan and Gia Sotero Dakayanan. Welcome both to the podcast. All right, we typically like to open our episodes with knowing where our guests are from. So Gia and Dr. Pau, where are both sides of your families from, and where are you currently streaming from? We'll start first with Pau, and then Gia will follow, and we'll alternate with responses throughout the remainder of the episode, back and forth between the two. So starting first with Pau. Dr. Pau.
Hello. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pau Abustan, and I go by pronouns they, sha. An image description of me is I am a gender-fluid Philippinex person with black and white hair to my chin, wearing green glasses, a green scarf, and a green shirt with some polka dot and stripey designs, and a blue futon behind me, a white wall, and a Fruits Basket anime Hello Kitty collab poster behind me. And my dad's side of the family is from Lukban, Philippines. They are Southern Tagalog. And my mom's side of the family is Kapampangan. They're from Angeles, Philippines. And they're also from Cavite, Philippines. So that's me. And I am videoing in from the border of Tongva, LA County, and Ventura County, Chumash Land. So thank you for having me here.
Hey, Gia.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gia. I use all pronouns or the Tagalog pronoun siya. I am currently also streaming in from Tongva Land. And an image description of me is that I am a light-skinned, non-binary Philippinex. I have black hair with two buns on each side of my head, and I'm wearing a gray button-up with these black and brown beaded earrings. And my background is kind of this navy blue wall with like a lamp on the side. There's like a secret little alien hanging on the lamp. And then just like, what would you call this? A wooden shelf right behind me. And for my family, my mom's side comes from South Cotabato, Mindanao. And they migrated, became refugees during the Civil War to Luzon. And my dad's side is from Tarlac. And for as far as I know, they've been there for quite a long time, for generations. And so my dad's side is Ilocano, and my mom's side is kind of a mystery because of being a refugee.
All right. Thank you both. This is Cheryl speaking. Now, I also am new to image descriptions, thanks to Dr. Powell, so I didn't get to accurately describe every detail. My hair is long. It goes all the way down to my waist, and I'm also wearing a white sweater with cloud-looking patterns on it. And I'm wearing eyeglass frames, two-toned. I have a sky blue type of top of my frame, and on the bottom it's beige. Okay, thank you, Dr. Powell, for teaching me the image descriptions. Now, I wanted to start off with saying, for this particular episode, we engaged our audience on our Instagram stories and asked if they had any questions for the guests that we have. And actually, three came in, so we're going to weave those questions in throughout the episode to make sure that we answer all the questions that you all bring to our podcast. That's the uniqueness of having this community engagement as we're pre-recording the episodes. So the first question that came through our Instagram stories came through Winnie in Los Angeles, California. And Winnie asked us, what other gender neutral variations to use instead of X in Philippine X? Also, the F versus the P in front. And I wanted to start off with this particular question as it relates to our episode so we could provide context to our audience around this topic.
I can answer variations in that I've heard the usage of the E at the end instead of the A or O. Or the at as well, the at sound. So it would go like Philippine at, Filipinao, or Filipine. And as far as I know, these were also borrowed from like other transgender non-conforming folks in the Latinx community. I personally also really love the E. It's kind of like, okay, is E the trans vowel now? Which, yeah, so I enjoy like the E a lot because I think it also flows quite naturally. But yeah, that's my take.
Okay. Dr. Powell, and in terms of the P for Philippinex instead of F, Philippinex, I learned that from my UC Santa Barbara undergrad days. I was part of Kapitarang Philippinex, or it was Filipino back then, but it has evolved to Philippinex. But I learned that many of the indigenous languages in what is now known as the Philippines don't have the F sound. So even listening to my mom and dad, you know, when you say like, I'm wearing shoes on my, you know, my feet and then my shoes, they don't say feet. They say feet with a P, or feather, you know, like a bird's feather. They'll say feather because it doesn't like. F doesn't exist, you know, and the Philippines is a colonial name after King Felipe, a European colonizer. And so F doesn't exist. And when you hear native speakers, they will say Filipino instead of Filipino, you know, family, family, familia. So I personally love to use the P because I'm like, my parents, my grandparents, like, F doesn't exist. So But you'll see it used interchangeably, Philippinex, Philippinex. I love how this is called Philippinex in wellness. So thank you.
This is Cheryl coming in. Thank you both, Dr. Pal and Gia. I'd also like to add exactly to what Dr. Pal and Gia mentioned. We named ourselves Philippinex to be more inclusive of our larger diaspora. We know that we have listeners globally, audience globally, and in other dialects, as Dr. Pal mentioned, there is no existence of the F, right? And technically, this could be a larger discussion for another episode. Even the name like Filipino or Filipino, as you mentioned, is a colonial adaptation of our country, right? As a colonial name. I mean, when you go to the Philippines, or in the Spanish, they used to call it Las Islas, right? De Filipinas. When you're there, when people usually ask you where you're from, when everyone's already there, it's more of what part or what region you're from. So that's why also we open up our episodes with asking where all of our guests are from, because depends on what part of the 7,000 island archipelago you're from, right? And then I also would just want to bring in the way that gender neutral language also operates in the Philippines. So the most commonly heard is siya in both Tagalog and Bisaya. And from what I know, that from my Ilocana mother-in-law, I have, sorry if I butcher this, as I'm a Bisayan in my background, I believe it's Isona. So that is also a gender neutral pronoun that is used in the Ilocos region. So there are also gender neutral variations both here on Turtle Island, aka the US, and also within the Philippines. So hopefully, Winnie, that helps to answer your question on the F versus the P, and then gender neutral variations both here on Turtle Island and also throughout the diaspora in the Philippines. Okay, thank you for that question. Now, let's start by getting to know you both before diving into more of our title, the X in Philippine X. Gia, you're a curator for Safe Spaces and Healing for Trans and Non-Binary BIPOC. And for people that want me to break that down, that's Black, Indigenous, People of Color. Can you talk about how you got into this work, what that looks like, and why you think it is important?
Yeah, so I come from a long line of queer and trans activists, specifically in Portland, because that's where I grew up in my teens. And so I want to talk briefly about the history of Portland, too, is that it's a very white supremacist state. And so growing up there as a brown, queer, trans, like non-binary youth, you kind of have no choice but to go into this mode of survival and to go into this mode of like, I have to do this work in order for me and my friends and my peers to keep living and keep fighting really, because even like going off into like downtown Portland, you would like go into a corner and see just like a white supremacist doing their speeches. And so really, there was no choice. And this really looks like just showing up for our peers. This looks like disability justice. And that means like practicing access needs in our spaces, like giving visual descriptions, making sure the physical spaces are wheelchair accessible, things like that, because the system will like not take care of us. It's us, our own community, that's going to take care of us. And it's important, especially in the context of when we think about the student movement that's happening right now, which is mostly led by youth. The only way really that we can see this movement be sustainable is that we actually create organizational ways to care for ourselves, care for the community. And we there's always so many talks about like the hour of liberation. And when the hour of liberation comes, we want our own people to be there, to actually be alive and to be well in that moment.
This is Cheryl. Thank you for sharing, Gia. Our second guest, Dr. Pal, you also have a compelling trajectory within your experiences in both California and Washington. We're talking now down the West Coast here in this episode. We wanted to remind our audience that you're currently an assistant professor of women's gender and sexuality studies at Cal State LA. In your bio, you shared with us that your research centers decolonial, queer, critical race, feminist, and disability justice world making in youth-centered learning, animated storytelling, and activisms. All amazing areas and intersections. Now, tell us more about your research, Dr. Pal, and the highlights of your journey leading up to your position at Cal State LA.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Pal. So I want to share that I am an accidental scholar. It's not like, you know, I always knew I was going to be a scholar and an activist. I'm definitely an accidental activist, an accidental educator. So growing up, you know, my mom and dad, they believed in the American dream, but for so many of us, right, it is a false promise. So my mom was a medical doctor in the Philippines, and my dad was a civil engineer. And coming here, they were both not able to practice. So I grew up working class. My mom was a nurse assistant. She still is a nurse assistant. And then my dad he became a janitor and then a certified nurse assistant, which is very hard work and important work. And we all like, people who clean, right? People who, serve and support those who are ill, like our world wouldn't function without them. So they should have been paid more, but they were not. So, you know, I grew up working class, and my grandma and grandpa, they were both born in the 1920s. My grandfather was a guerrilla fighter during World War II. They hid in the forests. And so it's more, you know, I'm here because of them. You know, I'm their legacy, and I owe it to them for surviving and for me to thrive today. But getting into education, I actually owe it to my mentors. Just like what Gia said, I come from, I don't like to think of lines, but I love to think of circles, like these, like circles and circles and flowers of trans and queer and femme and Black, Indigenous, and people of color activists that believed in me and that got me into activism. I remember it was my first year at UC Santa Barbara during my undergrad, and I took a women's studies class, and the professor canceled class, y'all. We were all in class and we were all supposed to take a quiz that day. And she said, y'all get A's on your quiz today, because I highly encourage you to walk out with me. This was in 2006. To support the anti-war rally, because at the time, the USA was bombing Iraq. So I remember at that moment, like, I just remember like everything flipping right side up. I was like, this is the first time that I felt called to action. Mm-hmm. So I went to the rally and I saw a sign that said, drop tuition, not bombs. And I went over there. And then I met these fabulous queer and trans Asian activists, and they got me involved, you know, defunding war, making sure we fund students, dreamers, accessibility, first gen. And then I started organizing student of color, women of color, queer Pilipinx conferences, teach-ins, the roots of the ethnic studies and queer movements. So that was during my undergrad, and right, I was not going to UC Santa Barbara like, yay, I'm going to be an activist. I accidentally was part of it because of my amazing women's studies professor who put theory into praxis. And then also these amazing BIPOC, queer and trans activists that called me in. And at the time, I didn't even know myself then, right? I started to learn about Filipinx history, our stories, trans and queer, and later disability justice. And so then my mentors encouraged me to grad school. And then the rest was history. And then at grad school, I started teaching women's gender sexuality studies, cultural studies, Asian-M studies, and disability studies. And so for all the youth listening or even elders listening, you know, tomorrow is a different day, right? If you wanted to get more into activism, if you wanted to teach, if you wanted to get involved in your community, it's never too late, right? Because I was not exposed to all of this until college, right? Even my queer and non-binary self, I did not find until college. And so now my research, I love working with youth because I feel like I was that youth that I was alone with my queer self and my non-binary self and lost. So now I love to be that possibility model for youth. So my research was actually in an elementary school classroom and identifying the ways teachers and youth are creating these trans and queer BIPOC disability justice worlds, which, like Gia said, you know, is really about honoring our whole selves and our whole communities. So I find that in elementary schools. But also, every time I'm with youth, we talk about youth pop culture. I have a Fruits Basket anime poster up here. And so I also identify those disability justice themes in youth pop culture. I've written about Animal Crossing, about other anime, and brought some video game creators of Wildflowers to Cal State LA. So I love what I do. And I encourage all, you know, if you have a passion, look into it further, right? Because it's never too late. And it was just amazing how I was like, I never pictured this for myself, right? I had no idea what career path I was going to go on, but just really gravitating towards what calls us. So thank you.
This is Cheryl. It's great to just learn more about your origin stories and what's brought you here. How we see that there are different experiences, there are different events. Sometimes the environments that we grow up in are how we were raised by our parents that have launched us to our careers and have expanded our passion. Sometimes, like as Dr. Powell mentioned, mentors that were there along the way to open doors and call us in. Now, what folks don't know about with almost half of our guests, I still have yet to meet them in person, including both Gia and Dr. Pao, who I'm learning more about for the first time alongside all of you who have tuned in. Let's transition into our episode titled The X in Philippine X. There have been many discussions around this topic from Philippine X or Philippine X, right? Being adopted from Latin X or Filipine, as Gia mentioned, also being used with Latin A. So to the use of Philippine now, or the gender neutral pronoun that I mentioned, siya in Tagalog, or and Bisaya or Isona in Ilocano. Do you both use the P or the Philippine X when talking about our community? And what are your thoughts around using the X in P or Philippine X? And I'm going to add actually another question that was brought in through our Instagram stories from one of our followers in Temecula, California. Actually, this is our social media strategist, grant writer Kat, who asked, how do you respond to hate or negativity to those who dislike the X? So there's a two-part question here. Gia, why don't we start with you on this one?
Sure, I can start with like responding to the social media question of how do I respond to hate, and I can be reactive and just say like, you're being a transphobe, you're just like being ignorant, you don't know what you're talking about.
But at the same time, it's like, are you coming from a place of like seeing this that language does not need to evolve? Like, are you coming from a place of like, we don't need to change anything about like ourselves, about like the way we describe ourselves? And it leads me to think about the material consequences of language in itself. And, you know, even before like the term Filipinx or Pilipinx was coined, what did transgender nonconforming non-binary Filipinx have to describe themselves before it was coined, before it became popularized? And it's like, we do need this. We do need to evolve our language because this is our reality. Because as colonized people, we have gendered language, unfortunately. And so for me, it's like, this is necessary. This is something that we're using as a tool, or I don't know about tool, but just something to let our communities know that we exist, when language itself in the mainstream and normative language, it like continues to erase us as people, our experiences, our oppression. And so again, like, do we have a choice? And our choice is to make language in order to make people know that we're here and that we will continue to be here. And for the first part of the question, do I use Pilipinx when talking about the community? Something that I noticed in myself, interestingly enough, is that I use the word Filipino or Pilipino when describing something in our culture that's normative, which was like really interesting for me when I started using Filipinx and Filipino interchangeably. And I would use Filipinx for things that were like more like trans, like gender nonconforming, like trans, like part of the queer community, and then Filipino for things like patriotism. So that was very interesting for me. I don't know about Dr. Pal. I'm really interested to see what you have to say as well.
So this is Dr. Pal, and for me, I try to always use the X, just like you. And also, I want to share love to Sky Kubakub, who is queer and trans and Filipinx, a fashion designer and fashion artist, art activist, but their whole, what they design clothes that are transgender friendly, queer friendly, disabled friendly, and their whole movement is called Radical Visibility. So that's where this X comes from, right? It's this whole like, please don't forget, and even more than don't forget, please center trans and queer and non-binary people, X, and following, you know, Latinx and so forth. And so, as you shared, Gia, it has become gendered, you know, Pilipina, Pilipino. For me, I always try to use X, almost like respecting someone's pronouns. So if someone identifies as a Filipina woman with an A, then I will call them that. You know, they're Filipina, they're Pinay, they're, you know, so it's almost like I try to respect how they identify. However, whenever I'm just referring to our community, whoever it is, I just always say X, Filipinx. So that's how I use it. And in terms of the Kat's question, thank you so much for Kat for asking, you know, what about all the haters? A lot of the hate that I've been reading online about this is people saying it's not traditional or it's not the culture. But just like what Cheryl said, what is, like, everything today is constructed, even
Filipino, even Philippines, that is all constructed over time. And language is always changing. Fashion, hairstyles, everything is always changing. You know, back in the day, someone who's assigned female at birth that even shows their hand like this was considered scandalous, right? But it's changing today. Norms are changing, language, dress, cultural attitudes. So to all the haters, I'm like, you know, language changes, and this is led by trans and queer communities. Let's center us. We're often, you know, thrown out by our own family members, degraded, thought of as less, experiencing high rates of violence, unfortunately, and even murder and death. And so why not show love where you can, you know, place that X. But at the same time, I do my best to meet people where they're at. So, you know, like my nanay and tatay, my grandma and grandpa, like if they don't understand the X, like, you know, like it's like I want to meet people where they're at. So because I know me too, like I unfortunately hated myself growing up. I was very homophobic, you know, to myself. And I had to slowly come in to loving myself through the support of others. And I think a lot of the reaction to this is people not understanding, people not knowing. So the more education, the better. And also, I believe in restorative, transformative justice. You know, we can't keep throwing each other out. Like, how do we call each other in and know that someone may be learning about the X? Someone may be learning more about disability. Someone may be learning more about race and ethnicity. And like, how do we gently call in each other?
This is Cheryl speaking. Thank you to our community for joining us for the first half of the X in Philippine X episode with Dr. Pau Abustan and Gia Soltero Dakayanan, episode 3 of our 4th season. Feel free to take a quick stretch, refill your water or tea. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Ice palaces that they made for you, they made for you, for you. Ice palaces that they made for you, they made for you, for you. You're cooler now while my head is cold burning. You're smooth, son, 'cause you got it all figured out. Don't you? And I can't escape locked doors and glass ceilings. And you'll get away. This ain't nothing new to you. Ain't nothing new to you. This ain't about luck. Ice palaces that they made for you. They made for you. For you.
I'm an uninvited guest from an archipelago. I'm the hyphen in the middle of my channel to my home. I will always break a binary, I'm in my own zone. I am whole like a puzzle, my body break the code. Their greed is not my culture, I love my flat nose. Not fluent in Tagalog, but there's knowledge in my bones. I'm a queer Filipinx, I'm a boy and a girl. I'm a treasure moving on, I'm every orient the pearl. I flip it with my cop, which is resist being complicit. Dismantle, decolonize, disrupt the circus. My lines cut portals, bleed another world. I rap to wrap these wounds, this X marks a swirl. I
Welcome back to Philippine X in Wellness. This is Cheryl. You were just listening to the end of Ice Palaces by Kim Mortal, released in 2019 off of their X Marks the Swirl album through Cox Records. Kim Mortal is a queer, non-binary Philippine X multidimensional artist. You can find their music on all digital platforms, and we'd like to thank Kim for consent to use their track in this episode. Shout out to our Philippine X artists and musicians out there laying down the tracks. Returning to from our break, I'm talking with Dr. Pal Abustan and Gia Sotero Dakayanan about the X in Philippine X for Pride Month. This is Cheryl. Dr. Pal and Gia, I'm really enjoying the richness of this conversation, as it's reminding me of the reason why we started Philippine X in Wellness as a podcast. We're intentional about our, from everything from our logo to our name, from bringing the P in, from Winnie's question earlier, to make sure that we're inclusive of our community throughout the diaspora, from centering voices that are not always heard in our community, from those with varying disabilities, to talk about, you know, talking about disability advocacy, to even talking about the trans, non-binary, gender-neutral community that aren't always seen, right? And talking about all of these topics really is what I believe centers health and wellness in our community, because it's not always about what we talk about, but also what about what we don't talk about. Now, when I did some research in preparing for this episode, I learned historically, even when we look at pre-colonial Philippines, homosexual relations, non-binary and transgender identity were common and they weren't stigmatized within society. Similar to our Native American folks here on Turtle Island, right? Who also embraced their two-spirited people. I discovered that, in fact, in the Tagalog region, there is a goddess of fertility and agriculture, Lakapati or Ikapati, who's described as an androgynous, intersex, and transgender, and who was considered one of the kindest deities. According to Philippine author and historian Francisco Radaza Demetrio, there were even asog, as known in the Bisayas, or bayuk or bayog, as known in Luzon, and these were feminized men who assumed the voice, mannerisms, hairstyle, and dress of females, as Francisco Radaza Demetrio defined it, some of whom belonged to a special class of shamans, or babaylan, until they were ostracized during Spanish colonialism, interestingly enough, where we came up with a binary, right? The Filipino and the Filipina, similar to the El and the Ella, that came forth, right, in Spanish colonization in Spanish-speaking countries. So even when looking deeper at our dialects, when we're looking at gender-neutral pronouns of siya or isona, when speaking to each other globally, or at times greeted with ma'am sir, when we enter establishments in the motherland, Dr. Pao, you use the pronouns they, siya, as we see on the screen. And Gia, you use all pronouns, including sha. How did you come to identifying with these preferred pronouns? And what does it mean to you to integrate they, sha, into your identities? We'll start first with Dr. Pal.
This is Dr. Pal. And for me, you know, kids, kindergarten toddlers are already being gendered at a young age. And for me, my first experiences with gender is my mom, you know, and my dad telling me, you know, I can't run around with the boys, or telling me I'm too tomboy. I love to play video games a lot, draw, read, and I kind of marched to my own drum. You know, I did my own thing as a kid, as a neurodivergent kid. And my parents would always be policing me. And my mom would be like, stop being too rowdy, stop moving around. You know, I have ADHD and I'm always like running around. But I remember in fifth grade, my hair was really short. And this is when I first really started getting policed by my gender. But the teacher, I remember my Taekwondo teacher would get mad at me and say, "Hey, you need to get into the boys' line now. Quit messing around." And I would be like, "I'm a girl." And then the Taekwondo teacher was like, "I've had enough with you," and like get really mad at me. And so that was like one experience where I was like confused about, you know, like, oh, I guess people are perceiving me as a boy. And then after that, it happened a few more times at my elementary school. I would go into the girls' restroom, and once again, they would tell me I need to go into the boys' restroom. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And then I started like having fun with it. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm a boy. And I really did feel like a boy. And, you know, but also confusion, because there was not much support during the time for non-binary and gender expansive people. But throughout my childhood too, I remember like putting on dresses, you know, putting on makeup. It always felt like I was performing, you know, putting on heels. And then for me, I'm all about being comfy cozy. Like, I love to just like feel relaxed. And in terms of my hair, it's sometimes short, it's sometimes long. And there was a time where I even hated the color pink and was really going into what's commonly referred as tomboy, you know, like assigned female at birth, kind of getting into boy what is, you know, designated as boy culture, like video games, sports. I was all about that. So I was tomboy growing up. But then I came into my they, sha identity after being involved with queer groups and during my undergrad. But it was really, I co-founded a trans and queer Black, Indigenous, and people of color and Two-Spirit-led organization at Washington State University. And it was honestly, I was a grad student at the time. It was learning from the undergrads that one of the undergrads shared, you know, call me he when I'm wearing a dress and lipstick and heels, and call me she when I am wearing a pants, a tie, a bow tie, you know, my hat. And I was like, my brain just like exploded, because I was like, oh my goodness, I have never thought of gender this way. You know, like boys can wear pink, girls can, you know, get rowdy and love sports and, you know, video games. And it just like smashed gender and gender expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm still open to being called he. I'm still open to being called she. I went by the name Paul for some time, and Paulina and Lena. And however, now I love Pal, because I think who I am, I'm like, you know, we were talking about the swirl or like this kaleidoscope. I feel like I'm like in the middle, and I kind of float. And sometimes I do feel more like a boy, Paul. Sometimes I do feel more like Paulina. But hey, what if Paulina's a boy and what if Paul's a girl? Like, it's okay, you know, like let's get rid of this two-sided, you know, expectation, because life isn't a binary. Things aren't black and white. It's really colorful and fun. So that's how I came into it. It was reflecting about my childhood experiences, really like not like being mad at the binary and not belonging in the gender binary. And then it was grad school, you know, being part of this activist organization that led sit-ins, die-ins in support of trans Black and brown women who are unfortunately murdered and experiencing violence at high rates. And it was learning from fellow family, you know, familia who identify. And like, oh, that's how I also came into my gray aces identity too, gray asexual, because even the queer community has a lot of sexuality compulsoriness. And then I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like I love cake and I'm asexual, you know? So yeah, it was, we find ourselves with each other, you know, through storytelling. We learned that we're not alone. And then I learned, like, I'm not about this binary, I'm non-binary, you know? So that's my story on how I came to they, sha.
This is Cheryl. I wanted to add really quick another cool fact. Dr. Pao, I don't know if you know, in Hawaii, in the Hawaiian language, when they say pao, it means done. Right? So I guess you're done.
I'm done with the binary. I'm done. Smash it.
How about you, Gia? You identify with all pronouns, including sha. How did you come to identifying with these preferred pronouns, and what does it mean to you to integrate sha into your identity?
Yeah, before that, I want to shout out the part where Dr. Pao was talking about the undergrad who was like, call me he in the dress. Because I had also a gender fluid non-binary friend or acquaintance in high school who would be like, don't I look like he him today? Have we? And it's, at the end, that is gender. Gender is so, it's messy. It's like, it's really whatever you want it to be. For me, at least, I came to all pronouns more, honestly, just in the last year or so. Before that, I was actually only going by they, them, and sha, which was really interesting for me to discover that in myself, like finding comfort in when I went home. I moved back in with my family after college, and I found myself being actually very comfortable with being called ate, but at the same time also kuya. And so it's like, that was a revelation for me, and that like, oh, actually, like, I'm fine with all of these. Because before that, I was very resistant to even like femininity in myself. And I think too, like, it was a whole discovery of how much like internalized misogyny I had internalized, like, yeah, all these things, even just like the way that I viewed masculinity as like inherently violent, inherently toxic. And that was something that I discovered I needed to work on when I discovered that like I'm actually okay with all of these things. But in the larger picture too, I came into the non-binary gender fluid identity when I discovered, or not discovered, but just like saw in myself in nature, like the weirdness of nature. Cause you know, like the way that the way that the moon is called she, the way that the ocean is called she, or even like the way the sun is called he. It's not because of gender. It's more just like energy, or at least that's how it feels. Or even like finding myself in just like these weird like creatures that exist in nature. And just feeling that, yeah, I am a part of that. And I am like, I feel like my non-binary identity is just a part of like the universe. It just feels so like whole, and I felt so much comfort in that, in going by all pronouns and in going by sha. And whenever I use sha in like any American space, really, or yeah, any like normative space, I feel like it's a way for folks to, like, other folks in the community to say like, hey, there are options. Hey, like, there was a history or a time before we were colonized, before all these things, where you can just use one pronoun, or like where one pronoun was used for everyone. So that's where I was coming from. I hope that was cohesive.
Yes, this is Cheryl. I just want to commend you because being on a public and global podcast in this episode to talk about your stories and experiences in itself, it really takes a lot of courage to be transparent. And especially in Dr. Pao, what you mentioned, especially in a climate where we've seen increasing violence and even death amongst Black and Indigenous people of color, individuals who identify as gender expansive, as trans, as non-binary. it's still continuing, right? The hate crimes that are continually being experienced, both in the U.S. or Turtle Island and even globally. There are countries where you can't show up as who you are, or you might, or you will get killed, right? So I've read also varying criticism around using the Philippine X on social media. I've heard the many jokes growing up within our families. It's still a testament that as a community, this topic is being brought up on our podcast because we have work to do. We have so much education, sensitivity training, and work around acceptance within this realm, within this community that is a part of our community, that will still require advocacy and time. In your perspectives, what are some concrete actions that our community can take to create more space around safety, acceptance, sensitivity, and advocacy for our gender expansive, gender fluid, gender neutral, non-binary, transgender kasamas? And I'm going to bring in another community question that came in through Instagram from our third contributor, Inari, in Escondido, California, who asked, what are the dynamics about the usage of Philippine X between Philippine X in the USA and in the Philippines? So I'm going to have to repeat these questions because there were several again in this one. So in your perspectives, what are some concrete actions that our community can take to create more safe spaces, acceptance, sensitivity, and advocacy? And then also to Inari's question, what are the dynamics about the usage of Philippine X between Philippine X in the U.S. and also in the Philippines?
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Pal. So in terms of advocacy, I always want to share with folks, meet people, meet your community where they're at, because if we come in, you know, we should never force anyone to do anything, right? To change their language to Philippinex or to, you know, for anything, everything should always be about consent and people wanting to center Philippinex who are non-binary, trans, queer, and so forth. So I would share, you know, in terms of advocacy, try to get involved in existing organizations like this amazing one, you know, Philippinex and Wellness. There's also Search for Philippinex Americans in Los Angeles. There is Asian Pacific Islander Equality in Los Angeles. There is the LGBT Center in LA. Okay, I'm very LA based right now because I'm in LA. But, you know, in Washington, where I was at, Eastern Washington, there was no trans and queer, BIPOC, and two-spirit org. So we started one. And then it's called Queer People of Color and Allies, QPACA, at Washington State University. And in Seattle, I know there's Queer the Land. There are the Alphabet Alliance. So I would share with folks, do your best to get involved in existing organizations who are doing this great advocacy and activism work, or start your own. And with QPACA, a lot of it was at first community building. I brought lumpia, you know, I cook lumpia for everyone, vegetable and noodle lumpia. And then, or some of our members would bring in, you know, conchas, the Mexican pastries. We had some of our two-spirit leaders and members bless the space. And we had a lot of singing and spoken word. And I hula hoop dance, we had that. It was just an amazing, like, you know, we need community, we need to find each other, and family and karaoke, and, you know, you can start there. And then we went from that community to advocacy, where unfortunately a U.S. military member murdered Jennifer Laude, you know, rest in peace to her, trans Filipina woman. And it's like, we started to organize and have protests and rallies and die-ins at Washington State University, really centering it, the issue. And so my guidance is find your people, you know, find the spaces. If they're not there, make them and more will find you. And in terms of the differences with the Philippines and here, you know, I can't speak too much about the Philippines because I am of the diaspora. I was born and raised here in Southern California and then lived in Washington. But just like how I started off my answer, meet people where they're at. So I think someone in their heart can really love trans and queer people, but maybe it'll take a while to learn why the X is there. Or maybe they're not using the X, but they show us they are learning, they are supporting, they're listening, they're loving trans and queer people in their lives in an uplifting way, not in a judgmental, degrading, violent way. So I think doing our best to meet people where they're at, whether it's the Philippines or here. And, you know, there's a lot of homophobia and transphobia here. You know, a lot of people are dying here. So it's not just other countries, it's here. So, and also believing no place is better, no place is more authentic. Like, we all got to find our community and homes where we're at. And I know as a diasporic Filipinx, I struggle with that. You know, people are like, you're not Filipino enough, or what? You don't know Kapampangan, or what? You don't know Tagalog. Like, there's always all this judgment, but why can't we just meet people where they're at, you know? And that goes for the Filipinx.
Yeah, I love that Dr. Pao's response of building community, finding it, investing in it. I can speak more on the difference between the diaspora versus here in the U.S. What I've noticed, because I was born in Tarlac, Philippines. I moved here when I was 11, and I've been here since. I'm in my mid-20s now. But I have been back and forth to the homeland here and there. I've also had queer and trans non-binary kasamas come with me to the Philippines and in their ancestral lands. And it's been interesting to see the ways that even the term like non-binary in our like queer trans community there is a very new term, or like a very unfamiliar term from what I've heard anyway. When my non-binary friend was talking to their family, to their other queer trans friends there, is that it's a non-binary-ness is very new, but I can speak too on how the X in the diaspora is still also very unfamiliar, because from what I've noticed, at least, is that the use of like bakla or tomboy is more the term that encompasses the entire community. And I think that speaks more on how like colonization as a whole has just like backtracked us on how we view both gender and sexuality. Interestingly enough, though, I have seen how in the Latinx community, folks in Latin America use Latinx, and which shows that it's not only specific to the United States. And I think this could be an opportunity too for both the diaspora and folks like our community in the motherland to bridge that, to have more conversations together and not just separately. And I think it feels more like an opportunity for organizers everywhere to come together through it. That's it.
This is Cheryl. Thank you, Gia. I liked how you both talked about also, or I know Dr. Pao, you opened up with also talking about starting with where people are at. As a licensed clinical social worker, that's one of the things that we value, actually, when you're in, you know, going into therapy, the therapeutic process, you have to start where people are at. And I want to just expand on that notion, because upfront, Philippine X and Wellness is not about forcing our ideals, our ideology, our perspectives on anyone. That is not wellness. That is not the practice of wellness. We are bringing in guests and topics to talk about different parts of our community, again, that need to be talked about, that aren't always talked about, that bring up sometimes uncomfortable feelings or sometimes are swept under the rug, because part of transformation is sitting in the discomfort in things that may not have always been centered, because we've had a complex colonial history that has erased a lot of things that were indigenous and true to who we are as a people, where there were things that coexisted. And so you will see, you will have different topics and you will hear from different guests that I also may not always agree with. And it's not an extension of my own ideology or perspective, but if they are contributing to the health and wellness of our larger community, and they are speaking to the diversity of views within our community, but yet still contributors of health and wellness, then they still need to be, in my opinion, heard, witnessed, and seen. So there is no calling out, but calling in when it comes to Philippine X and Wellness. So thank you both for addressing that. Now, when it comes to the realm of health and wellness for our transgender and gender fluid, gender expansive, non-binary kasamas, I want to talk also as a mental health practitioner about the American Psychiatric Association. Now, this is controversial coming from my field, right? Where there historically was a pathological identification of transgender, gender neutral, gender expansive, non-binary communities to provide treatment under the former diagnosis of gender identity disorder, which has been currently replaced by gender dysphoria. It's seen as an illness, as a condition to have to be worked through in order to provide services, right? I'm curious to know if either of you have thoughts on this, and are there any preferred modalities or treatment models that you are aware of that can better support the transgender, gender expansive, gender fluid, non-binary kasamas that you feel like our health and wellness providers should be better informed about?
This is Dr. Powell, and I want to start saying, you know, we are not an illness. We are not a disorder. Those of us who are non-binary and trans and gender expansive, us being, you know, in the DSM as a gender identity disorder, that is colonial, right? When Spanish colonizers arrived in the Philippines and they witnessed babaylan, you know, healers of the community, as, you know, men with long hair, men wearing dresses, or, you know, they witnessed women in battle, you know, they witnessed women leading their communities, to the Spanish colonizers, we were a sin to them, right? Like, they were like, what are these women, powerful women, doing leading their communities? They're out of line. What are these men doing with long hair?
And markings on their bodies.
Yeah, out of line. And that actually relates to these amazing books, you know, by Dr. Leni Strobel, Back from the Crocodile's Belly, you know, because they attempted to erase us, the colonizers. They literally threw women leaders, queer people, trans people, people in non-monogamous relationships, people, you know, like anyone they thought was inappropriate, they threw us to the crocodiles and they wanted to eliminate us. But as Dr. Leni Strobel, Filipina scholar, shares, you know, we are back from the crocodile's belly. And this relates to Dr. Deborah Miranda's research, who is Chumash Esaloan, because she talks about how the Spanish priests as well, Spanish colonizers, unfortunately threw trans and queer Chumash people, what is now known today as Santa Barbara or even this Ventura area, Chumash, they threw them to the dogs because they could not stand people in non-monogamous relationships, you know, men wearing dresses and jewelry. They couldn't stand women leading their communities. So us being labeled as an illness by the DSM is wrong. Like, we're not an illness. Colonization and imperialism is the issue, you know, that tried to label us as defective, as wrong, as sick, as needing to be cured. And that's why this, you know, queer studies, disability studies, queer movements, the disability justice movement, and even Black, Indigenous, and people of color movements for liberation all are intertwined and connected, because, right, they tried to label us, erase us, label us as wrong, erase us, exploit us, degrade our lands, degrade our communities. But today we're resisting and we're saying, hey, like, trans is beautiful, non-binary is ancestral. To decolonize is to love queer people and love ourselves and love each other. And more people are getting into, I know, non-monogamous polyamory relations, asexual relations, queer platonic partnerships. Like everything that we know is colonial, you know, how do we get rid of that and start to really love who we are? And also, there wouldn't be gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder if schools, K-12 schools, taught, you know, showed two moms, showed trans people, showed Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, the founders of our queer USA movement, showed them in a positive way. But yet so many of us grow up with so many negative representations or no representations of us. And so then we start to hate ourselves, you know? So there wouldn't be this whole gender dysphoria if trans kids, if trans adults, trans elders had access to affirming, holistic education and also affirming healthcare, you know? It's horrible how there's so much double standards in our society that people can, you know, be okay with, let's say, women, you know, altering bodies, right? Whether it's for beauty purposes or whether it's for illnesses to, you know, alter our bodies. But if it's a trans person doing it, it's all of a sudden wrong, right? So there wouldn't be all these illnesses if people actually had affirming education and societal spaces and access to affirming, trans-affirming healthcare.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Pao. This question really, like, gets right into it, because I think a lot about, like, ways for our folks to come home to our bodies. And the colonial medical complex will do everything to make sure that doesn't happen. And that includes making dysphoria an illness when transitioning has existed since time immemorial. Like we mentioned earlier, you know, we see it in nature all the time, you know, like clownfish, they transition all the time. you know, like, yeah, there's so much effort to make trans, gender non-conforming people, queer people as unnatural to the human condition as possible. And like Dr. Pao said, we are not an illness. We have existed since forever and we will remain here. That's really all it for me.
This is Cheryl. I just wanted to also thank you both for bringing up that communities should not be pathologized. and really bringing up how complex also our healthcare systems can be historically with so many of our communities, from medical treatment, experiments. And that is a whole another topic that needs to be talked about and brought probably onto our podcast at some point. So I just wanted to acknowledge that last point that you both brought in. Now, being that both of you are activists and organizers in various spheres, talk about some of the things that you're currently working on within the realm of activism, advocacy, and organizing. Gia, let's start with you on this one.
Yeah, for sure. So right now I'm actually just in kind of floating around, just taking a break from everything. Because I was previously involved in an organization, and I reached a point where my body was deteriorating so much and I needed, and I was, my chronic pain was getting worse over time. And so I'm at a point where I need to figure out still like what is sustainable for me. And that itself is activism. What is sustainable for me? And also like, how do I show up for others so that they can also be here in the movement in the long run? And yeah, what does that look like? And yeah, it's just sustainability for myself and others. That's something that I'm working on. In the realm of activism, and because if we're not there by the end of the day, then what is the point of doing all this work, right?
This is Dr. Powell, and I can relate with you a lot, Gia, because I myself have an autoimmune condition, and I have fibromyalgia, I have chronic pain, and even during my undergrad, when I first started getting into activism, a lot of people called me flaky, but they don't understand, like, how can I even be out there when I'm in so much pain, or I'm having back and forth hospital visits, my blood drawn, you know, procedures. We got to take care of ourselves first, and especially Black, Indigenous, and people of color, and Filipinx, our communities have survived and continue to survive so much trauma. We have so much in relation with Black, Indigenous, and people of color siblings, right? Where, just like I shared earlier, Dr. Deborah Miranda with the Chumash people and Esalen people, she shares how trans and non-binary people were actually considered to be more spiritual, you know, being able to host like feminine and masculine energies and role, you know, gender roles, that two-spirit trans and queer people in Chumash cultures were actually the ones in charge of spiritual ceremonies, you know, crossing over to the other side when someone dies. And it's like our communities have actually today been told opposite messaging, that we're bad, that we're defective, that we don't belong, that we need to change ourselves, when actually, like, so many of our communities, even in the Filipinx, many Babaylan healers are, right, gender fluid. My Tagalog language, right, is gender fluid, siya. My mom and dad grew up calling me he and she, like interchangeably, for my brother and sister too. So what I do today is this process of reclaiming, you know, like getting rid of this whole thinking there's something wrong with us, when there's actually something wrong with the system. You know, we don't need to change ourselves. We're beautiful the way we are, but we need to change the system, that to make sure people have affirming healthcare, have communities of support, have holistic education. So that's what I'm doing today at Cal State LA. You know, when I teach my classes, I don't require attendance or participation because people can be sick. You know, I've gone through it. But I do require to honor two-spirit, trans, queer, BIPOC storytelling. So everything we read, we watch, we engage in activities centers that, and centers world making where all are loved. And if someone does become sick and disabled, they're not going to lose their house. They're not going to, you know, lose all their friends and family. They're going to be held and taken care of. And so that's what I'm doing. And I'm visiting through our Cal State LA WGSS Youth Outreach, local schools, youth nonprofits. We were just at SEPA the other day and had a college 101 with the youth. But we want to serve as those possibility models, you know. And to the youth, I come out as queer, non-binary, Filipinx. I also come out that I'm from a family, the Pamintuan Kapampangan family, that we were actually the pre-colonial rulers of Pampanga. And our being leaders was not what you think of it today, you know, a king and a queen on a pedestal. Pamintuan actually means to obey. So we serve the people. And so that's what leadership should be doing. So that we're going around the schools and the kids are just so happy to meet another BIPOC person, trans person, queer person, disabled person. I come out as neurodivergent. And we try to get them thinking about Cal State LA and thinking about majoring in women's gender sexuality studies. It's a possibility. Or even just taking a class. So I guess that is the activism that I do today.
This is Cheryl. Thank you both. Now, we're approaching our closing shortly. We're a wellness podcast, health and wellness podcast, right? And we typically, in line with that, like to ask our guests, what are your own wellness routines and self-care practices? Being the fact that you do a lot of pouring into the community, and GM mentioned having to pull back from that, right? So currently, what wellness routines or self-care practices would you like to share outside of your professional careers? Dr. Pal, let's start with you.
So my uncle in Lukban, Philippines, is actually the village healer there, and he works a lot with herbs and such. And at first I was like scared of all that, you know, because the colonizer, right, they taught us to be afraid of ourselves and healing. And but lately, especially I've had a lot of hospital visits lately, I'm realizing like there's so much truth to herbal medicine. Like we were drinking our peppermint tea earlier, you know, so that's what I've been getting into. I've been, you know, unfortunately my uncle has passed, you know, rest in paradise to him. And but I'm trying to learn, you know, like the earth, we need to protect the earth, you know, and then the earth will protect us. It is something that's being lost. And so I'm gardening. Me and my partner just planted lemon balm, peppermint, sage. And I'm just so happy, you know, gardening. And they say there's so much healing. They call it forest bathing. Mm-hmm. You know, just being in nature, because we are nature. We're water, we're earth, and we forget that. So that's part of my healing. Just like gentle walks, biking in nature. I try to go to the ocean, right? Our kin, our ancestors, our familia, our water peoples, right? So try to be near the ocean. And also self-care is my animated storytelling. There's so much dream worlds in it that are trans and queer and disability justice friendly. So yeah, those are my self-care. And also Animal Crossing. I love to play Animal Crossing on my Nintendo Switch because of that. I garden, I'm at the beach, it's so relaxing. My villagers speak Tagalog, and I want to learn Kapampangan, so just like my grandma, so I want to teach them Kapampangan, my villagers.
Can I join your village?
Yes, yes, let's exchange, let's add each other.
Yeah, I love that. I love also like getting my hands dirty. I'm also trying to get into gardening. But I also just like, I love anything that's tactile. So I used to draw pretty often, and pastel was my favorite because like it smears, it's like vibrant. It just like also ends up looking like a painting. So yeah, I love pastels. I also love taking a walk. I walk with my little dogs, you know, like walking your little companions with you. And also just like being in community is care, is self-care. I call up like my other kasama, my other like, yeah, trans Filipinx friends, besties, every weekend as a way to just like, hey, like we're oppressed and you're the only one who can understand me. Like, can you hear me out? Or like, yeah, how are you doing? Even like, how are you navigating this world? And just at the end of the day, like we find out, we just, it's another reminder that like we're navigating this world together. And it just warms, it makes my heart like a lot lighter that way.
This is Cheryl. I wanted to, you know, as we enter the closing portion, I wanted to actually, before that, circle back to what you mentioned earlier, Dr. Powell, when you talked about throwing our people into the crocodiles. You know, what's really ironic about that is that also the Philippine crocodile is seen as one of our ancestors. And if you look at our logo of Philippine X, on the leaves there are the crocodile teeth, actually, because it's seen as one of our ancestral protectors. And we mentioned this in our Wider Wellness episode, but because the Philippine crocodile is seen as our ancestral protector, we're creating this space to protect the wellness of our community. And the fact that we came out of the crocodile's mouth, as you mentioned, what Professor Lenny Strobel, author Lenny Strobel mentioned in our book, just kind of shows how we are going to stay resilient and we are going to come out transformed. So as we begin to close, how can our community find you both about your work if they have additional questions? Gia, you first.
I'm just on Instagram. I try not to be on social media because I just doom scroll, but you can find me on Instagram, NB Jester, ENBY Jester, as in the clown, JESTER.
This is Dr. Powell. You can also find me on Instagram, Dr. Dr. Powell, PAU_PhD. And also my Cal State LA email. You can just Google Cal State LA, Powell Abustan, Abustan, and you can find me and contact me that way too.
This is Cheryl. Final words. Is there anything else that you would want our community throughout the diaspora to know when it comes to using the X in Philippine X? Dr. Powell?
This is Dr. Powell. We're amazing. Love the X if you can.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Gia. Embrace it. Embrace the X. Use it all the time. Use it everywhere. It's not grammatically incorrect. Love it.
Well, this is Cheryl. What a fun closing with you both. Thank you both again, Gia and Dr. Powell, for your bravery, your advocacy, and for sharing your perspectives on this topic for Pride Month. We look forward to witnessing your journeys unfold and can't wait to see the powerful work that will spawn from your continual advocacy for the multiple communities and intersections that you represent. On our part, we'll continue to do our best to keep you safe and included, centered within the conversations around health and wellness within our community. And to our community, for our next episode, we'll be talking with life practitioner, culture creator, personal coach, artist, creative, and activist Mark King about his coaching program, Artistry in Life, a program dedicated to emotional intelligence leadership development. This episode will air on Wellness Wednesday, July 17. As we close, we'd like to acknowledge once again our guest speakers, Gia Soltero Dacayanan and Dr. Powell Abustan, Eddie Gana, who referred us to you, Gia, and Sipa, who exposed us to Dr. Powell Abustan. Kimortal, our featured artist that you heard for our break track, reigning from the land of the Squamish people, aka Vancity, Vancouver, Canada. Our graphic designer and beat maker for our opening and closing track, Richie. Our advisors, Allison De La Cruz, Rianne De Los Reyes, and Safo Tio Logo. Our community partners, SoCal Filipinos, Rising Filipinas, This Filipino American Life, and all of our community members for your shares and support. As always, we'll share more about our guests' offerings on our Instagram stories and highlights for permanent access with any of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us at Philippine X and Wellness on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and on X at Philippine X, the letter N, well, followed by the letters N and S. Don't forget to continue to hit like and subscribe on our Philippine X and Wellness YouTube channel. Thank you always for believing in us. We look forward to providing more content for you all. Be well, everyone. Continue to take care of yourselves and each other.
Salamat.
Daghang salamat.
Maraming salamat.